Our second scripture lesson today is another example of the prophetic power of song. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. The Greek is translated into English this way: listen for God's word for you this morning. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your house." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. And then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, singing still opens prison doors. In 1995, choral director Elvira Voth started the East Hills Singers in Lansing Correctional Institution in Lansing, Kansas. Sponsored by the nonprofit organization Arts in Prison, the program brought together incarcerated men and professional singers to rehearse and to perform together. Many of the inmates had never sung in a choir before, but in that group they found a new passion, a new belonging, and a new joy. Participants described the choir as a way to feel human in an environment that had little humanity. And members noted the strong bond formed while singing and heightened love and compassion and forgiveness that they had received from audiences during their performances. Now, the recidivism rate in Kansas is a little over 50%. But the recidivism rate for the East Hill Singers is well under 10. And they continue to perform regularly in churches around the Kansas City area. They are the only prison group that is allowed outside of those walls. And in fact, they are performing in 3 weeks at Village Presbyterian Church in Prairie Village, Kansas. There's a power of singing. You all know this. There's something that happens when people sing together, breathing together and feeling together and becoming something more than we are alone. And science can measure some of these effects. Singing together, we're told, reduces stress hormones. It boosts our mood, it strengthens our immune system, improves our lung capacity, and even synchronizes heartbeats. And anyone who has sung in a choir already knows this truth in their bones, that singing changes us. And sometimes singing does not just change the singers, it changes the world around them, as exemplified in that singing revolution in Estonia. Singing can be prophetic. In Scripture, prophecy is not merely about predicting the future. Prophecy is telling truths about God. It is proclaiming what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will continue to do. Prophecy names the world as it is, but it also names the world that God intends it to be. Prophecy gives voice to hope when hope feels impossible. Prophecy announces what God's kingdom looks like on earth as it is in heaven. Prophecy is not something that ended long ago. No, it is something that the church is called to participate in today. Because as Easter people, we live into the resurrection, that resurrection that transforms our life and the world, not only our own lives, no, for the world itself. Throughout Israel's story, God has spoken through unexpected voices, calling people away from fear and toward justice and mercy and new life. So over these next 6 weeks, we will listen and learn from prophetic women in the Hebrew scriptures, some that may be familiar to you and some that may not. The first prophet that is named in our Hebrew scriptures is not a king, not a priest, not a warrior. It is a woman holding a tambourine and leading God's people in song. Her name is Miriam, and Miriam is the older sister of Moses. She's present at that pivotal moment in the story of the liberation of God's people. She is introduced simply as Moses' sister, who stood at a distance to see what would happen as he was placed in that basket in the reeds of the Nile River. And she speaks boldly to Pharaoh's daughter, offering to find a Hebrew nurse for the child, and then brings Moses' mother to care for him. And she helps save Moses from the waters of the Nile. And later, she celebrates God's salvation of her people as they passed through the waters of the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, she is named for us, Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, who takes a tambourine in her hand, and all the women go out after her with tambourines, dancing and singing. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider have been thrown into the sea. The song they sing is one of the oldest texts in our Hebrew scripture, dating back more than 10 centuries before Paul and Silas were singing praises in prison. And while Miriam's song appears as just a brief response to Moses' longer Song of the Sea, many biblical scholars believe that this song may have originally been Miriam's and was later attributed to Moses. The first line of Moses' song is identical to that line that Miriam sings in our scriptures. Miriam gathers the women. She takes her tambourine and sings, not privately, but communally. Before Israel has a king, before Israel has a temple, Israel has a song. The people are not yet organized, they are not secure, they are not yet powerful, but they are free. And the first thing that freed people do is to sing. Because songs form people. They provide a framework, a shared memory and meaning, much like our national anthem or that national anthem of Estonia. Miriam's song was passed down through generations, sharing the story of God's liberating work long before it was codified into Scripture. The song celebrates God's power and gives witness that that work continues even now. This is how singing becomes prophetic. voices joined together in song, show us what God's kingdom looks like. When we sing together, we experience just a tiny glimpse of that kingdom right in our midst. Miriam knew what the East Hills singers discovered centuries later, that when people who have known confinement begin to sing together, something opens up inside them. A different future becomes imaginable. A different identity begins to take shape. Not prisoners, not slaves, not enemies, but a people of God. One member of the East Hill Singers described that unity found in singing this way. He says, "We all play different parts, and we all sound different individually, but together we become a great melody. In many communities, we are taught that to see difference as a threat, but when we listen to one another, we begin to discover how much more becomes possible when we work together." The song of Miriam did not end at the Red Sea. It echoes wherever people gather to sing hope into difficult places. And this afternoon, we have an opportunity to do just that. It is interesting how the Spirit moves sometimes. As I was preparing this sermon, I got an email from Pastor Catherine inviting you all to join the congregation of College Hill United Methodist Church at 5:30 this afternoon as they host a group called Singing Resistance. Singing Resistance is a grassroots organization that began amidst the violence and injustice of Minneapolis and has now spread across the country. People gather to sing songs of hope and solidarity, expressing collective grief and anger while fostering courage and community strength through nonviolent, joyful expression in song. Christian theologian and member of the resistance in the 1930s against the Third Reich in Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, once wrote, "It is the voice of the church that is heard in singing together. It is not you that sings, it is the church that is singing. And you, as members of the church, may share in its song." This is the invitation to prophetic song. To sing when hope feels fragile, to sing when justice feels distant, to sing when fear tells us to be quiet, to sing when the world tells us that there is nothing that will change, to sing when love feels risky, to sing when courage feels costly. Because when we sing together, we begin to hear the world differently. We begin to hear the possibilities of God still at work. We begin to hear the possibility that love is stronger than fear. We begin to hear the possibility that the resurrection is not just something that happened once. It is something that continues to happen every day. The song of Miriam is not finished. The song of liberation is not finished. The song of justice is not finished. The song of hope is not finished. It is still rising. It rises whenever people refuse to accept injustice as inevitable. It rises whenever voices are joined together in courage and compassion. It rises when the church remembers who we are and whose we are. It rises when we sing in worship. It rises when we raise our voices in song and in protest. It rises when we sing in grief. It rises when we sing in hope. Because the good news on this second Sunday of Easter is not only that Christ is risen, it is that the risen Christ is still at work in our lives and in the world, still rising communities of compassion, still rising in acts of justice, still rising whenever love refuses to be silenced. And maybe that is why the first prophet named in scriptures is not holding a scroll, but holding a tambourine. Because sometimes the most faithful thing that we can do is to join our voices together in song. So may we have the courage to become people whose song still rises. A song that remembers God's faithfulness, a song that proclaims God's justice, a song that trusts God's future, a song that helps the world to hear the good news of the risen Christ. May that be our song as well. May that be so in your lives, in the life of your families, in the life of this congregation, and in the life of Christ's church. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you are still bringing life out of places that look like endings, still leading us through the waters into the promises of your kingdom. So open our ears to hear your Spirit still speaking. Open our hearts to trust the promise of resurrection. Give us courage to sing when hope feels fragile, to sing when justice feels distant, to sing when love calls us beyond our comfort. Make our lives a song of compassion, our voices a song of courage, our community a song of hope. And as we join our voices together, may your Spirit shape us into a people and encourage us to join together in your song, still rising in this world, proclaiming your grace and your justice and your new life in our lives and in the world. Amen.